Progressive and the Ad Council.
Let's talk about America. Not taxes or tweets or the issues that divide us, but how incredible our country is. Whether you come home to a crowded city street or sleepy small town, everyone deserves to live in a clean, green, and thriving community. We are Keep America Beautiful, the nonprofit working with millions of people like you to end littering, improve recycling, and beautify communities. Learn more at KAB.org. Together, we can do beautiful
ESPN
things.
ESPN Kansas City is KCTE Independence and K233 DM Raytown, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. The show that takes you home. The Home Stretch with Sterling Holmes on ESPN Kansas City. 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Welcome to the Home Stretch here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com, and Facebook Live. Live in studio on a cloudy, but guess what? You're not getting burnt Monday afternoon. Dylan Michaels behind the glass. And let me tell you, the hair is flowing from him today. He could totally be the captain of a hockey team. I trust you right now.
Appreciate you.
If Kansas City ever gets a professional hockey team, you're going to be the captain. You could be in the Mavericks right now. I'd believe it. I'm all in.
That's what I'm going for. It was not a skullet. It was not a skullet.
Todd Lebo joining in the second segment. He'll be talking some Chiefs, talking some training camp. I golf this weekend at Swope Park. Love golfing at Swope. It's the last round of golf I'm going to play before the fellas. You love seeing the handicap just raise up before a golf trip. It's what you want. That's exact. Not sandbagging. But say you missed a couple putts late. Don't finish too well. Maybe a little 41 action on the front, 46 on the back. That's not sandbagging. Before we get into some Chiefs and Royals talk, I found something that made me just crack up. Dylan, have you ever been to Belk.com?
I have not.
Do you know what Belk.com is?
Is that a like an iPhone product?
No, it's a clothing store, but they also have appliances. They tailor to the Southern style. Like, you see the commercials on SEC Network, right?
Okay.
So they kind of...
I understand where you're at.
Yeah.
Like, what
I wear a lot of their stuff because it's cheap. They have a whole bunch of brands, and they just sell it at a cheaper price, right? Great place. Well, Belk.com. But you see it on SEC Network. If you're watching Cornhole on SEC Network, you'll see a Belk.com commercial. I got an email from them, and the promotion says, Modern. Southern. Towels. It was a promotion for bath towels for your house, and one of the promotion talking points was just Southern. How the hell can a towel be Southern? Does it say y'all on it? Is it only meant for picking up sweet tea?
Refers to dinner as supper.
Good one. I just was cracking up. I go, how the hell can a towel be Southern? I don't know. I kind of want to buy one just to find out.
They're already got you hook, line, and sinker then.
Well, see?
We're already talking about it.
They're talking about it. I like you only pick up sweet tea with. You can't even use it in the shower. It's just for Southern things that you spill around the house.
Yeah.
You spill some grits, boom. That's what the towel's for.
Some jam?
Some jam. Some blackberry cobbler. Spill some blackberry cobbler? That's the towel for you. Modern Southern towel. Running back Kareem Hunt is seeking a contract extension. He has requested a trade from the Cleveland Browns, and the team has privately denied and declined that request, sources confirmed to ESPN. Kareem Hunt is in the final year of a two-year, $12 million deal. He has missed drills the past two practices, but returned yesterday on Sunday. It's interesting, right? We'll get into the whole Chiefs connection in a moment, but it's interesting. He's getting paid I'm assuming $6 million if you're going by the AAV of a two-year, $12 million contract last year of that contract, right? Doesn't have an extension in place. He's a good running back. But he missed a lot of time last year. Not only that, the Browns already have Nick Chubb and a very viable backup in D'Ernest Johnson. D'Ernest Johnson went over 100 yards when he ever got tabbed to be the starter, right? It's not like Cleveland needs another running back. Running back, the position as a whole, the value is just no longer there. I get what Kareem Hunt's saying to an extent, saying, hey, I get you guys don't need a running back, so you're probably not going to pay me, so trade me. But also I understand the Browns saying they had a good thing going. All three backs have seen playing time over the past couple seasons. They've had one of the best, if not the best, running attack in the NFL, right? So I understand the Browns saying, you're under contract. No. I just don't understand Chiefs fans who want Kareem Hunt back. That's where I draw the line. Kareem Hunt was incredible in Kansas City. No denying it. But not only did he do what he did off the field, he lied to the front office. I don't care if you're going to pull up quotes that say, he deserves a second chance, and some of the players on the team believes that he should have got a second chance here in Kansas City. That's fine and dandy. Obviously, the front office did not. Andy Reid, Brett Veach, the Hunts, if they determined that he is not going to be here in Kansas City, that's it. That's the final decision. By the way, just from an on-field perspective, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is on a rookie contract, Isaiah Pacheco on a rookie contract, Ronald Jones, Jerick McKinnon on very team-friendly deals. He obviously wants a contract extension, Kareem Hunt. Why? Running back is the most replaceable position currently in the NFL. You don't pay those players. You don't pay that position. As good as Kareem Hunt was in Kansas City, he was great in Kansas City. It's time to get over it. What he did was fine. He was a great player, but the off-the-field issues, the lying to the front office, and what he's going to realistically want going forward, if he's not happy with $6 million, what are you going to give him? He was hurt some last year. A banged-up running back who's wants a new contract. Seems like a recipe for disaster. What do you think, Dylan?
Well, I mean, I think also, if you want to believe everything they're saying about Pacheco, there's no reason for them to go out and get Kareem Hunt either. So if they went out and got Kareem Hunt, that would be actually a really bad sign of what we have currently in our running back room. So I think they should stick with what they have. You're right. It's way cheaper, way less wear and tear. And also, you know, it didn't work out. And there's a reason why a franchise and a head coach and a front office that gives a lot of people a lot of second chances did not give him a second chance.
And that's a good point. The Chiefs front office is not afraid to give players second chances. I've been on record saying I do think sometimes it's unfair in the NFL how you can't be the same team a lot of times to give players second chances. For example, when this originally went down, if the Chiefs were to bring back Kareem Hunt in that instance, they would have gotten shelled. But when the Browns did it, because it was a different organization, they were allotted as giving a guy a second chance. That is one of the things in the NFL I find bizarre, where another team is the second chance opportunity giver, while the same team, if they do, they're labeled as a dysfunctional or a organization that cares only about winning and not about the perception on the outside looking in. Either way, there was obviously more issues, and that's why he was not brought back to Kansas City. He played in 8 games last year, and while Isaiah, the 7th round draft pick, is fine, and all the hype surrounding him is entertaining, enjoyable, I want to believe, I do want to pump the brakes. A lot of players look good in training camp. He's been an exceptional player in training camp. He's getting a lot of run with the ones. Not only was he getting run with the twos, now he's getting run with the ones. Kareem Hunt was also a different animal as far as what he was able to do breaking tackles. They say Isaiah's very good when it comes to picking up pass protection early, very good at finding the hole. His athleticism is off the charts, good pass catcher. doing all the things correct. But what Kareem Hunt did so well was break tackles, and we've not been able to see that yet just based on they're not tackling right now. They're not in full pads. I don't want to just sit here and say Isaiah Pacheco is going to be the next Kareem Hunt. I don't know. I don't want to be a cynic, Dylan, but I feel like that's where I'm at. I'm hearing that a lot because everyone keeps comparing him to Kareem Hunt. I just want to pump the brakes a little bit because Kareem was very, very good his rookie season.
Yeah, he was really good. And then followed that up with the next season until obviously he got in trouble. But, I mean, he was running over everyone because wasn't his second season Pat's first year starting, right? Because they came in together.
2017.
Then they started together for the first time 2018. And everyone had to commit so many people to our passing game that he just ate.
I also think, though, people like to say that he opened things up for the Chiefs' offense. While to an extent I don't disagree, the Chiefs' offense has actually been fine on the ground. Hear me out. They just don't run the ball. That's the issue. It's not that they don't get yards and chunks on the ground. They just don't run the ball. How many times were you screaming at the TV against the Bengals when you're getting 7-8 yards on the ground and they refuse to run it? That's not the fact that the Chiefs can't run the ball. Hell, the new interior offensive line, that allows almost any running back in the NFL, I would imagine, to run the ball, at least at a decent clip. You don't need Kareem Hunt when you have Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, Joe Tooney. When you have Orlando Brown Jr., when you have either Andrew Wiley, Kennard, Niang, you have a hell of an offensive line. I've seen multiple major outlets declare this the best offensive line in the NFL. The Chiefs have the ability to run the ball with who they currently have on the roster. You don't need to go out and spend extra money for an extra, I don't know, maybe a broken tackle here and there. When Clyde was healthy, caveat, when healthy, the end of last year, that dude looked like a game changer. I've been on record saying that was one of the, if not the worst draft picks you could possibly have. Nothing against Clyde, necessarily. But when you are a running back drafted in the first round, you better be incredible. You better be Derrick Henry, and even then, in the first round, it's kind of a losing battle because the position is so easy to fill. But when Clyde was breaking tackles, that Steelers game comes to mind. He broke three dudes, somehow still got into the end zone. He talked about with me and Matt Connor this offseason how he had gallbladder surgery before the season last year, lost about 40 pounds. There was a reason why it took him a while to get back to playing weight. There's a reason why it took him a while to get back to breaking tackles, contact balance. I don't know about you, Dylan, but I'm fine rolling with Clyde, at least to start the season. Isaiah as your number two, Ronald Jones the second, Jerick McKinnon, however that plays out. The Chiefs have a fairly deep running back room, even if they don't have that number one elite guy.
Yeah, they never really had an elite running back in New England or, you know, with Peyton. There was never like any, when you have a good quarterback, the elite running back is almost the cherry on top that you can have but almost don't need, per se. I mean, when we won the Super Bowls with Damian Williams full season and a mixture of LeSean McCoy and I think maybe Spencer Ware, maybe. I'm probably wrong. No, Spencer Ware was the year before when we had to replace Kareem Hunt. But
yeah,
another person that is just a plug and play. And then if Pacheco can actually be what everyone's saying he is, even half of that, I think we're fine.
Yeah, as long as he's a viable. What have the Patriots done for so long? Yeah, team that really sinks a lot of money. Sure, they have a lot of guys that can play running back because they fill it out with four or five dudes.
Right.
But what they do is find one place those guys excel in and use them in that role.
Exactly.
And the Chiefs, I think, are doing it at wide receiver this year, finding something that an attribute a player excels at and then throws them into that role. It gives them a great chance to succeed. I think we'll see a little bit of that at running back. If you have Ronald Jones a second, it's a power guy. Jerick McKinnon, pass catcher, pass pro. Clyde Edwards-Helaire can do a little bit of everything. And then Isaiah, we don't know. He's the wild card in this scenario. just to go back to it again, I'm not saying Kareem Hunt is better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right? As far as what we've seen from the career, there's no denying that. But if you just want to look at yards per carry, we're going at 4.6 yards per carry for Kareem. Go to Clyde, we're looking at 4.4 yards per carry. As much as we've ripped on Clyde, a lot of it comes down to availability and the, I want to say, lack of touches. They've not used Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the right role, which is pass catching. That's where he excelled at LSU. I think we'll see more of that this upcoming season. But if you want to look at a big difference in the reason why I think we have such fond memories of the way Kareem Hunt played, he also got a lot more touches. When you're getting a lot more touches, the numbers will look better. Kareem is a very, very, very good running back. But to come back to Kansas City, he's not good enough to deal with the drama that comes with it. We'll take a quick break, come back, the home stretch here, ESPN Kansas City.
Hi, Chiefs fans. I'm Brandy with Stony Creek Hotel and Conference Center in St. Joseph, Missouri. Are you looking for the best place to stay for training camp? Join us at Stony Creek Hotels while you're in St. Joe. We've got unmatched amenities, lodge-like accommodations that you and your family will enjoy. With complimentary hot breakfast, an indoor-outdoor pool, and free Wi-Fi, you can make camp a mini vacation. Book your stay today at StonyCreekHotels.com or call 1-800-659-2220.
Hey, it's Bob with Culligan Water. Most of you get your water from water treatment plants, but some of you source your water from a well. Your water may have excess levels of bacteria, iron, or even arsenic. The good news is, I can help. Water problems, big or small, I treat them all. Contact me, Bob, at CulliganKansasCity.com/Bob. That's CulliganKansasCity.com/Bob. Let's talk about how to better your water. When you think of better water, think of Bob with Culligan Water.
WHB's 100-year celebration brought to you by Anheuser-Busch. Tickets for less. Easton Roofing. Sandlot. Main Street Buick GMC. Core First Bank. Pizza Shuttle. Victory Ford. Bushnell. And the Hilton President Kansas City. It's not too late to sponsor the WHB 100-year celebration. For more details, call 913-344-1530. Sponsorships start for as little as $500 and support four amazing Kansas City charities. W-H-B.
If you've been dreaming of a new outdoor living area for your family to enjoy all year long, Summit Lawn and Landscape can help you design and build it. Paved and stone patios, outdoor kitchens, fire pits, outdoor fireplaces, landscape lighting, and retaining walls. Extend the comfort of your home outside with a new inviting and relaxing addition to your home. Sit by a fire, relax under the stars. Whatever you envision, Summit Lawn and Landscape can help. Call Summit Lawn and Landscape at 816-966-9434 or summitlawn.com.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the home stretch here, ESPN Kansas City. Lebo joining us in studio. He was once a youth that went wild. We've heard some stories in those lessons with Lebo.
I've been wild. Now I'm old.
I think a good segment with Skid Row would be I Remember You, where you just name old athletes you remember.
I remember you.
Yeah, it's a good one, right?
Even a game. I remember that game.
Yeah, I remember you. Yeah.
I remember you.
That'd be a pretty good.
Yeah, I remember you. Like
it wouldn't be a slave to the grind.
I saw some story. Where is this coach now? James Saxon.
Wait, he might be doing 18 in life.
No, he's older now. But James Saxon is an assistant coach, I think, with the Cardinals of Arizona, and he was arrested for some domestic violence.
So he could be doing 18 and a half.
But then I was like, you were a Chiefs running back. I remember you.
I remember you.
You were number 21.
See?
I remember you.
Do you like this monkey business?
It is monkey business. That's the five songs you know, isn't it? Because I don't know any more than that.
Piece, it was a piece of me, piece of you.
I don't
Quicksand Jesus. No, they got a lot of songs.
I only know some of the songs.
I know a lot of. Big Skid Row guy.
18 in Life. That was the big, I will remember you.
Yeah.
It's the slow one.
Yeah. That was the ballad.
Monkey Business was the one.
A good one.
Yeah.
Slave to the Grind.
Slave to the Grind.
Quicksand Jesus.
Was there another, like, just good rocker?
All their songs are good rockers.
No,
it's Sebastian
they
Bach.
They had those kind of whatevers, you know, the girl songs.
Sure.
I would remember you.
I remember you, yeah. Well, see, every band back then had to have a power ballad.
Hey, how about this? You go to Apple Music, new album coming out in October called The Gang's All Here.
Gang's All Here. I like that.
You go 18 in Life, I Remember You. Youth Gone Wild, I Remember You. That's trouble when it keeps it. Say, Wasted Time. We didn't say that one, did they?
Mm-mm.
18 in Life a bunch. Yeah, Skid Row. Yeah. Big Guns.
I would love to go to a Skid Row concert.
Jesus in a darkened room.
In a darkened
Rattlesnake
room,
Shake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get the Blank Out. Never saw them.
You sure you don't want to pull a Pete Rose and just say what it actually said?
Hey, what I've heard over the last 24 hours, it's not just best to say what you read because you could get fired or you could be Pete Rose and no one cares. He just said
that. How incredible was it when he goes, he didn't say belt high.
Obviously. I know what he said.
Yeah, we know what he says.
Dylan, say what he said. No, don't.
No,
I
please.
Didn't look.
Okay. Okay, I thought he was about to actually chime in say that.
I know I should not say it, but I have no idea what he said. So.
Okay. Right about that high.
Belt, yeah. Not belt high.
Just under the belt.
Just under the belt. On TV.
Like a rooster.
On TV.
It was rooster high.
On TV,
and
he
then
says
followed
this.
It up with the SH bomb.
Yeah, with saying the S word.
Yeah.
And then the announcer.
But what's he care? He's already been kicked out of baseball. Can't hurt him.
No, good, fine. But the announcer just got ground ball to second base.
There was a blooper to right.
Blooper to right.
Yeah.
And I just love Pete Rose going, oh, trying to change the subject that quick? And you're like,
yes, I am trying to change the subject. You just said rooster high and then the shh word on our broadcast.
Those announcers sounded so uncomfortable being there.
But you just don't see Pete Rose on things because he was kicked out of baseball. You know, he can come do things, but he's just kind of persona non grata. And he ever been to Las Vegas in the Forum Shops? He's always out there signing autographs in this one store out there. And I was just out in Vegas a couple weeks ago, and we went walking through there, and he wasn't there that day, but I'm sure he was there the day before. Emmitt Smith was there signing autographs that day.
There has to be so many Pete Rose autographs just out there now.
It's the only way he can make money. They've taken away his chance to make money.
What was he going to do? Play baseball now?
Go manage. He was managing the Reds when he bet.
Sure.
Yeah. Managers make good money.
You think Pete Rose would be a manager right now in baseball? You think he'd really...
Tony La Russa's a manager. You could sit
also,
there and be...
See what Tony La Russa's doing. That's just because the White Sox...
You could just be the guy who's the special, you know, vice president of whatever.
Of gambling.
And make money.
When gambling's legal.
You know how many like just ex-big leaguers are just like on the payroll with these teams because of what they did for them?
Sure.
And the Reds wouldn't take him in for
George
something.
Brett.
Dude won World Series with the Reds, won World Series with the Phillies.
What's George Brett doing right now?
He's the
special
advisor.
He's
the vice president of something or other. Yeah. I love George. He's making money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deserves it.
You know why he did that? He hit 3,000 hits, a bunch of rooster high fastballs that he put in the gap, and he kept his mouth shut. Did it. Anyway, I was at Chiefs camp today.
Yeah, tell us about Chiefs camp.
Quick, short practice today. It was 76, 77 degrees.
And Juju Smith-Schuster still said it was hot or something?
He didn't talk to us today, but I don't think he would have said it was hot. It was, we talked to Creed Humphrey and Chris Jones. That was good. But we talked to Josh Gordon, who I know has been a pet project of yours. You'd really like him to be a star. He just seems like he's already cut.
Do you have me confused, sir?
He seems like he's cut already. And he probably... is cut. I mean, they have a lot of talent wide receiver, and I don't know how many they're going to keep because, like, right now, I really think they want to keep four tight ends, but Jody Fortson's not on the field again. But Gordon is just like, he was just so soft spoken and just like, I was like, dude, man, you're trying to make this team. How's it going? But
Andy Reid, how it's going, he goes, not good.
Well, I said, I mean, are you confident you can make this team? How do you feel?
And he didn't sound super confident that he was going to make the team. Mm. And he's fighting one of his friends for a spot at Corey Coleman.
Corey Coleman, yeah.
You know, they were both at Baylor together.
And the Browns.
Yeah.
I don't think the same time.
They were a little bit off.
I think it had been about two
years.
They
probably crossed over for a smidge at Baylor and maybe for a second.
Because Corey Coleman was 2017, I think.
I think Gordon was well out of the league then or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
They've been around each other.
Well, then DeAndre Baker's now.
He's gone.
He's cut.
And that's
not a huge surprise either. I was not shocked by that. I had him missing the roster to begin with.
Well, and Andy Reid didn't really have a lot to say about that. He's just like, it didn't work out. It's gone.
Do you think there's some underlying?
Don't know.
You didn't ask?
Don't know.
Levo, getting down the investigation route over here.
Hey, here's
not
deal.
A good FBI guy.
You know what I don't do? I'm not going to pester Andy Reid about
no,
guys
should.
Who they cut.
You should. That should be your first thing.
I had enough issues.
What, there. Shock jock?
Yeah. I'm not going to go out there and say, seriously, why is this guy who's not good enough to be on the team not on the team? I'm not going to stand on the table for DeAndre Baker.
That's not the guy you're going to go to bat for?
No.
Okay.
No.
Seemed like it.
Yeah, Corey Coleman is, they both were at the same place, never at the same time.
Okay.
I think. But, you know, you're always hanging out with your friends. They're both Texas kids, I think.
So what about Creed? What about Chris Jones?
Creed's looking good. Chris Jones looked good. These guys battle each other in practice sometimes. A lot of respect for each other, a lot of mutual respect. And Chris Jones is excited about this team. I think he's excited that Carlos Dunlap is there. I think we're all excited that Frank Clark seems to have figured out some things in his life, and hopefully that'll execute the practice field. And again today, we've heard him talk, Frank Clark, about working with George Karloftis on things. We're sitting there in the tent, and everything's going on. You look, and the last two guys walking off the field, Frank Clark and George Karloftis, they've been over working together on something.
Nice.
Then they stopped and signed some autographs and stuff like that. It was a nice day because yesterday was family fun day, so it was just a zoo. I mean, just packed
sure.
full of people. And today it was much cooler, and it was a little threat of rain, so it was a much smaller crowd. It was a shorter practice. So it was a good day to be. I hadn't been back up for a week because Stephen had been up all day last week every day. So it's good to get back up there and see it. And I'll have a little bit more tomorrow. We get to hear from all the assistant coaches tomorrow, which we don't get to hear from often. This is our first chance in a while and our last chance for till probably 2 months from now to hear from any of them. Chance
I keep wanting to hear Matt Nagy. I know.
They'll probably make Matt Nagy available. He was available during OTAs.
The reason why I'm interested with him is because he obviously was.
Now you asked me if he even existed anymore last week.
We've not seen him. If you look at pictures, he'll be like tucked away.
It's funny though.
Hidden.
There are so many people on the field. It's like I was counting one day the first week I was up there. I was like, are there more people on the field running practice than there are players? And I started kind of counting. I think it's about the same number of people.
So how many players there right now?
There's like 85
or something. Yeah, 90, something like that. Close
but there are so many. I mean, you've got like 20 coaches.
Sure.
But then you've got like 20 water squirt guys, and you got 20 other, you know, the guy who has the football on the end of the stick and pulls it like he's snapping guys. And then they've got trainers everywhere. It's crazy. And then there's like a bunch of friends, like some coaches' friends. Maybe
sure.
Day someone shows up there, and there's the team photographers and all that stuff on the field. Like, there's a lot of people up here running around to make a practice happen. You know, it's crazy.
Mm.
And so, like, if someone's out there trying to take a picture in the media of everyone, so many people. I don't know if you get to Nagy. I've been a couple times, like, Herbie Teope from the Star has been telling the Star photographers, you know, they need some pictures to have on file. Mm. All right. Yeah, that he's over there. He's got the, you know, he's next to the one great big guy in the red. He's got the white hat on. Take pictures of that guy. So then they've got pictures. Because
sure.
there won't be other times of the year. You got to have a file picture of Matt Nagy or defensive specialist fill in the blank guy.
Well, I just want to hear because he was here, then was a head coach for the Chicago Bears where I think
a playoff head coach.
And coach of the year.
Coach of the year.
I think he was I will stand by it. I think he was a little bit not totally a little bit used as a scapegoat for issues with the front office when it came to players they drafted and roster construction.
They cleaned the GM out. They cleaned the coach out. They cleaned the quarterback out.
I don't think it was his fault. If you win coach of the year, if you go, 12-4 with Mitchell Trubisky as the quarterback, you're not a horrible head coach, right? I don't think he was a horrible head coach, but I'm excited to see what he's doing now. He's back in Kansas City, but no Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. Mahomes now. I want to see what the differences are if he learned from his time in Chicago. And again, I do think he will fill this role very, very well.
It was funny when we talked to him in OTAs, he was like, the best part is you don't have to do, I mean, it's way, way less work. I mean, you're working a lot, but when you're not the head coach, you don't have to go talk to the media. You don't have to do this stuff. And he was telling his son, it was like, it's like you're like a human being again, you know, like you're regular.
Yeah.
Where he was like, I've sure seen you a lot more. Well, you just did.
And people don't hate me now.
Yeah.
I go 12-4 and people are upset.
Yeah. So, well, that's Chicago. You better win it all, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Trubisky as your quarterback.
But I don't know which coaches will hear from him, but it's coach day, so there'll be a lot.
With Chris Jones, I saw he said something about Frank Clark may have lost 35 pounds.
Yeah, Frank Clark said he was fat last year. He said, I got a gut. And he's you know, he says he's not drinking liquor anymore.
Sure.
Red meat's out of his diet. He said lots of stomach issues
yeah.
over the last 10 years of his life. And so I think he's finally finding what maybe the source of some of those stomach problems were. And he's got himself in shape. Now, you don't want to get too skinny.
Sure. That was my next question.
But he said, you see me out there. I'm standing people up with one arm. So he's strong.
Okay.
So he says.
Because
it's all talk right now.
Sure.
We need to see it, you know, September, whatever.
Everyone's in the best shape of their life right now.
Yeah.
Including you. You went to the gym yesterday.
I did. Now I'm sore. Sore.
You getting yoked?
I'm gonna be yoked up. You guys check me out in like 2 months. I'll be swole.
I believe it.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
You're going to look like Bruce Willis?
I just got to get rid of my gut. It's the hardest part.
No, no, no. You may not like it, but that's what male peak performance looks like.
That's me.
That's right there.
I'm in.
You and Daniel Vogelbach.
I'm in.
The first baseman for the Brewers now.
Dude, he's way bigger than me. He's way fatter
than
me.
The Mets now?
Am I right? Yeah. Way fatter than me.
Oh, yeah.
Way fatter.
That dude's like 5'9".
Who's the catcher for the Blue Jays?
Oh, Alejandro Kirk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's way fatter than me.
Yeah.
That's the best part of
okay, but the problem is they rake.
That's
yeah, Prince Fielder? Yeah.
You don't think I can rake?
No. You can
By
rake
way,
the leaves.
Prince's other kid is my buddy works with a bunch of youth baseball things where they go around the country and playing and stuff. And he's like 14 or 15, and he was on one of these teams. And he's like, same thing. His name, I can't remember where his name is. It's not Prince Jr. It's the next one down. He's like 14, a little freaking fire plug, raking. So there's another one on the way.
Do you know what Vogelbach's listed at?
5'11"?
6 foot, which seems about 2 to 3 inches tall.
240.
270.
70?
270.
What do they list at Alejandro Kirk at? He's got to be listed at 5'10". No chance he's even listed close to 6 foot.
There's a video of Vogelbach, I think it was 2 days ago, going first to home, and it's
Oh, it was glorious.
Yeah.
40 seconds.
Oh, yeah, he's trucking.
He's running hard.
He's faster than about six players. They did a whole sprint speed.
Who's faster than?
Oh, did they?
The slowest I remember was Yasmani Grandal.
Oh, yeah.
The slowest. Yadi Molina was down there.
Yes, he's old.
Albert Pujols was down there.
Of course.
Miguel Cabrera was down there because he's old and has no knees.
He's hurt, yeah.
There was, I want to say, one other player.
My biggest Kirk. Give me his numbers. He's got to be listed at 250.
5'8".
5'8".
245.
245. Listen, I've never been 245, but I've been 5'8 for a long time. I got up to like 235 once.
I want to see that.
Oh, I was a chunk. I was back.
I want to see
that.
That's
only about 4 years ago.
That's pre me.
Yeah.
Pre SH.
Too much food.
Too much food, huh?
Too much food.
You pull a Frank Clark?
Oh.
No more liquor? No more red meat?
No. I change what I drink. But I eat less red meat. Just carbs. That's what you got to get rid of when you're old.
Look at you.
You got to get rid of the carbs. You got to kind of keto a little bit. A little. No.
That's what I do.
You keto?
I do paleo.
You ate a crumble cookie with me.
No.
When they bring them in, you have to have a taste.
I cut like a quarter of one.
A quarter. Yeah. Which you still shouldn't have had it.
I shouldn't, no.
But it's okay. It's a
shame.
Treat. One time.
Yeah, shame.
One time. It's just a little shame. Here's a hint. If you could do this in this building and you never eat any food that anyone brings in, that's part of your diet.
I've noticed that, yeah.
Because there will be donuts stuff, or cookies or
no,
whatever.
No, part of being in a radio
is
to be out of shape while talking about some of the most in shape people in the entire world.
Well, we just spent
world.
3 minutes talking about the fat guys, so that's where we're going.
Well, see, we can compete with those guys, not in anything sports outside of maybe a sprint. I think I could take them in a sprint.
Maybe.
I'm 5'10", 170. I think I can take
peak,
those guys.
Peak condition. I did eat a little bit of dessert at camp today. A little small. They had like a, it was like a, you know, when it was like a, you know, it'd be a chocolate chip cookie sheet cake thing, you know, one of those.
Sure.
And I had a little corner. Not too much, but I probably shouldn't have had it, but I'm weak. Like Dylan. week. Can't say no to the siren song of the cookie.
I don't do the small. It's either I get none or I'm going all in. There's no... That's the softest part. That's the most self-control, actually, is when you just get a small piece. It's easier to say no than just grab a small piece.
Because then you got
a
taste.
Then you got a taste.
You wet your beak.
And then all of a sudden you want to
dunk your head into the pool.
It's like when you say, I'm only going to have one beer. You're never going out and just having one beer.
Maybe. Maybe.
When was the last time you've ever had just one?
Oh, out somewhere? Probably never. But like at home, like one beer or something.
Sure,
with dinner.
That's fine. Yeah, one with dinner.
But like out? No, probably not just one. Maybe at a ball game when they cost $40.
Fair.
It's huge.
Fair. You have one.
One 25-ounce
jumbo sized.
Cost your hand.
I got one that was $30. That bat of margarita.
See?
Horrible. It was not a treat. It was the worst thing I've ever had in my life. It was straight syrup.
I told you I went to Vegas and everything was expensive out there. So a round of drinks at the pool was $130. It was ridiculous. So we go to the show one night and they're selling, you know, you get a beer or some sort of themed drink. And they were like big drinks. They were $25 or something. Or you could get a flask. And the flask they gave you looked like it had a couple of drinks in it. It was like this plastic thing with a little strap. These guys had these flasks here and pour them in their drinks. $64.
What?
$64. I was just like,
Vegas just sounds like the absolute worst time. And everyone tries to play it off like they enjoy it. Every single time someone says they go to Vegas, I'm like, yeah, so how was it? Guys, I lost like $2,000. Each drink was $75.
I'm going back next week.
I lost my phone, wallet, and shirt. But it was great. So what else did you do? Well, yeah, I lost a lot of money.
Yeah. We didn't lose a lot of money. We had fun. It was a family vacation, but I was just like, $64 for a flask? No.
Yeah. No one's like, oh, yeah, $4 drinks. Yeah, we had a great time, won some money.
Yeah.
No one ever says that. Somewhere it does.
I don't know.
No one I know.
I hadn't been out there in a long time, and I don't need to go back for a while. I know a lot of Chiefs fans are going because they're going to go. It's going to be fun every year when they play.
Oh, it'll be a great time.
And it's going to be January. So
if you like losing money.
Nice, you know, because it'll be hot there and cold here. It'll be a great way to get out of town. But, yeah, just go out and.
How many people will bet the amount of money they spent on plane tickets?
Just to try to make it free?
On roulette or blackjack. You throw it all on one hand. Break even. Now we have a free trip. They lose. And
I told you, I didn't bet on your Missouri Tigers.
You should have.
It was five.
Five wins?
That's all it was. And I texted Steven.
Wait, time out.
And I said,
even
what
if
do
it
you
ends
think?
At five,
well,
it's
then
a push.
It's a push.
So then, what are you doing? I will give you
I texted him at a bad,
$100.
He was in a bad mood. And he said, I don't know. So I just stayed away from it.
Because I think six is fair. Fine.
Do you have to win.
Not five
do you have to
half.
Win the K-State game to win six?
You don't have to. It'd be helpful. I think if you win K-State at seven, but
they don't win that game. Who knows?
Yeah,
then they go to Auburn. Scary.
I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. I'll give you $100. You fly back.
I'm not
out
going
there.
Back to Vegas. Hey, soon enough we're gonna be able to gamble here, right?
You can do it here soon.
Yeah.
I was asking Dylan in the break. When is that illegal? Is it pre?
It's
Chief season.
I think yes. August 15th is some sort of a date.
It's technically legal.
Yeah,
right
it's a day. Yeah, you're
no
right. It's a day. Lebo.
No
one has
skin.
The license.
It's like a license is skin. Both same.
Right.
Thing.
So like I have, I tried this last Friday. I'll try to place a bet right now. You like the Orioles tonight? Against the Blue Jays?
The first five? I mean...
No.
I'm just going to see if I can bet $1. And then it's going to tell me I can't.
Yeah, I'd go Blue Jays in there.
Cannot place your bet. So there you go. That's my test on my app every day.
You do it every single day?
I did it last Friday.
You are going to have an issue when it actually becomes legalized.
I don't have any issues. Are
you going to the gym as a coping mechanism?
Here's
for
the deal. I don't live in Kansas. I work in Kansas. That means I'll just have to place some bets while I'm
at work. Yeah.
The young Royals
four
look
work.
Fun. Four work, what are you doing?
Are you
betting 8-10's money on this?
No, I'm just saying it's...
Is this what you're doing
it's
now?
It's just paying attention to sports.
All right, four Sterling's work. Paycheck. Is he getting paid this week?
We'll see. If Missouri wins, maybe not, I don't know. Young Royals look like fun. I like the young Royals.
MJ Melendez is starting to absolute rake. He's a solid leadoff hitter, even batting .236 because he gets on base.
Hits the ball.
Hits the ball hard. Had six RBIs
as the leadoff man yesterday.
Michael Massey.
Looks
like a player.
Looks like, well, the Royals would have been better if he would have been called up sooner. Mm-hmm. Who knows? No small sample size.
Small. Here's the deal. We're going to end up having a two-month sample size. Play them all every day.
Kyle Isbell looks way better right now with the bat than he did in the first half of the year. The last 2 weeks, he's looked good. I don't know if it's the youth.
Get Prado some ABs. Get Pasquantino some ABs.
Well, that's the thing with Nick Prado. Even with him struggling, he's batting 186 but getting on base at a 310 clip.
Yeah. They're taking
professional at-bats.
Yeah. Home run, walk-off. That's going to be fun. A memory of a lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, the young Royals are so much more enjoyable to watch, and it's frustrating with the Royals front office taking this long, because if they knew going in that this was not going to be a compete year and you're trotting out.
They didn't know. They always think they're going to compete, Sterling.
I get that, but either go all in or go all out. There's no reason to half-ass it. There's
That's
zero
what
reason
they've
to
done
do.
For 5 years.
Six, 5 years now.
They keep thinking they're there, but now they were forced to do this.
Were forced to do it this year.
Well, no, they're forced to make these trades.
To trade off, yes. Yeah.
So, you know, because they very easily could have been, like the Orioles were a couple games over 500, and they sold. There's no chance the Royals would have sold.
No.
If they were, like, a couple games over 500. They would have been buying, right? So they were bad enough this year. We should feel blessed that they had to sell Benintendi and Whit Merrifield, and it would have been nice if they could have gotten rid of Michael A. Taylor, but they couldn't find a taker. But now we're going to see a lot of these guys go. I think Barlow still, they got 2 years left with him. He could be someone who can help them.
Sure.
I'm not that upset that they didn't get rid of him.
The only reason why was because he would have brought back the most in return based on what we saw, from others.
Yeah.
If Scott F. Ross, a 28-year-old rookie, I get the 5 years he has of control. He's 28.
Mm-hmm.
This is his only season he's ever shown of anything, obviously, as a rookie.
Yeah.
If he can bring back a prospect at, what was it, top 15?
Yeah.
I mean, Scott Barlow.
The Royals, I think it was okay. An okay trade deadline.
Sure.
Okay.
It was okay.
It could have been worse. And it looked like it was going to be worse because it looked like they weren't going to do nothing.
And by the way,
till 3 or 4:59.
Drew Waters has been unreal in the minors, which is why I was so excited when they went out and traded with Atlanta to bring him in here. I thought the change of scenery. I thought, funny to say, the Royals hitting overhaul in the minors has been so positive. I mean, again, even with guys like Nick Prado, who, again, is struggling getting high averages, they're at least taking walks. Drew Waters has a way better K walk ratio than he did any time in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. Maybe we'll see him before the end of the year. If not, it's going to be a fun spring training.
But don't we say this the past 3 years now?
Yes.
It's going to be a fun spring training. They do this where they either...
Yes.
Either start off so bad in the middle of the season, whatever it is, they always go on some stretch, some month or two long stretch, where they're the worst team in baseball.
All they've done is win three games here. They had
lost
before heading
19-22,
and the White Sox are coming into town. So I mean, they're around 500-ish
since the All Star break. Yeah,
which is great for that's kind of what we thought they were going to be all year long, but they weren't. But like I said, had they been like that, they would have made these changes, which I think are necessary to get some of these guys out of here.
With this recent quote-unquote success, is this buying more time for either Dayton Moore, Cal Eldred, any of those guys?
I don't know. Eldred is he's the weird one that everyone just wants gone, right? They're not going to do anything until the season's over on that.
At this
Maybe
point.
He'll be gone. I don't know. But, I mean, if the Royals didn't show a little life with some of these trades and some of these moves, maybe it could be adios to everybody.
Mm.
We don't know enough about John Sherman yet to know how he's going to run
a
team. We don't know. We know this. When he got the team, he paid $1 billion, got a whole bunch of people together to do it, and then didn't make any changes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that kept the GM, kept everybody. Brought a couple of people in there. If you look at the Royals, you know, upper brass people you don't know, people you don't see their names, brought some people in from outside. But they had already hired Mike Matheny to be the manager when John Sherman bought the team. And, you know, so he's just came in and said, all right, let's see what this does for a couple of years. And it's been a weird couple of years with the pandemic and the lockout and all this stuff. Has he seen enough to decide if these are the people who should be in charge of his $1 billion investment? I don't know. But I think these next couple of months will be important to see if that is the case.
The Royals are pacing well for their 54 wins by first game of Chiefs season. That bet that you and I, necessarily a bet we had. It was an estimation. Will it happen?
Yeah.
They can win 10 games by September 11th. They got a month to win 10 games.
Yeah, that would be, they should do that.
Yeah.
They should. That's winning a third of the games probably, or a little more than a third, because although they got none today, two tomorrow, right?
Yeah, none today.
Yeah, and they're playing twice tomorrow.
White Sox tomorrow, yeah.
So, you know, but that's what happens when you win three in a row. All of a sudden, it looks good.
Yeah, if they lost those three, we're sitting here going, oh, that's going to be a tough push for them.
Hey, by the way, your precious Yankees don't even have the best record in baseball anymore.
Gosh, I can't stand them.
They didn't even win a game this weekend. They came to the state of Missouri, couldn't get a win.
They're tied with the Mets, and they are, what's that, six games back, five and a half games back of the Dodgers.
And aren't the Astros catching them too?
Astros are half game back.
Yeah. Maybe your Cardinals are getting hot at the right time.
Don't you dare. Never say Yankees or Cardinals. Don't you dare.
Which is the worst? They played each other this week.
I know. That was tough for me. That was hard.
Were you happy your Cardinals have taken over first
place?
Don't
you dare.
They're in first place right now. They didn't get Juan Soto. All they did is go out and beat what was allegedly the best team in baseball three times.
Cardinals fans are so irritating, too. They love to crown themselves the best fans in baseball and then complain nonstop. You know what your front office did as a smaller market organization? Go out and get Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt. And they're still like, we'll bring in Juan Soto. But we're not giving up our top three prospects. They're unreasonable. And
well, then
Yankees fans are out here.
Just beat the Yankees three times. Well, you should be happy about it.
Fine. I appreciate the Cardinals more than the Yankees, because the Yankees fans are the worst. They're out here making the same deals nonstop. Here, take Joey Gallo. We'll take your best prospect, your best player. Can't stand Yankees fans. They're also
Your teams.
They're also Cowboys fans and Lakers fans.
It's all your people.
Not my people.
That's your people.
No. This trade deadline, to me, was a exasperation of an issue. I don't know if I've talked to you about this, but I've talked about it before. It felt like every single, if you want to say big market team, or at least high payroll team, has such an advantage. It's always been like that in baseball, but this trade deadline seemed to showcase it even more. Mm-hmm. Just the inequalities between the Yankees, Padres, who are not necessarily big market, but they have a big payroll, the Dodgers. They went out and bought all these players.
Yep.
Teams who were in contention, like the Brewers, you could say the Orioles to an extent, but even when you take them out of it, the Brewers are the main one. They felt like they couldn't even keep Josh Hader, the best reliever in baseball.
Something's going on there. I don't know what the deal
sure,
is.
Yeah. But I feel like they probably thought that they have to try and rebuild while also staying in contention.
Right.
Is this a major issue for baseball?
Yeah, it's an issue. We've been talking about this issue for 40 years.
Is there anything they can do?
Well, I mean, the luxury tax thing kind of worked.
They're never going to go full on because salary cap, because the players would say no, and I don't disagree.
Well,
there should be a threshold, a floor.
The players are fine, if you only some of you get to play for the good teams, then that's fine, I guess. I think the players would rather all have more equal footing for everyone, but I get it. They want more money. But I think what happens with the baseball union more than most is a lot of the decisions get made to make sure that the guys at the top get the most.
Yeah.
And that's maybe not the greatest thing. Because let's say if you made the major leagues and you were able to be in the major leagues for like 2 years, and the minimum salaries is good right now, but wouldn't it be better for the entirety of the union if the minimum salary were like $1 million, but the maximum salary was somewhere less than $43 million. You know what I mean?
$35
million. I don't know. Yeah. Something. Because there are a whole lot more guys making the $600,000 than there are making $43 million. Right?
Yeah.
How many guys on the Royals right now are minimum salary guys?
The majority?
Like almost all of them.
Yeah.
Now, what if they were making $1 million? That would be life-changing if you were to make the major leagues and be able to play a couple of years or something.
Yeah.
And but you know, let's make sure Max Scherzer gets $43 million.
Yeah, remember when he was like taking a picture of getting out of his like Ferrari to go meet with those owners during the lockout, and everyone was championing that.
There's something wrong.
Yeah.
About he's the guy, but they're the guys with the voice. Yeah. They're the guys.
But
with
you're
the
totally
voice.
Right that it's the 1%ers that are representing
all of them.
Yeah.
Because you can't send what's the little kid's name? Nate Eaton.
Yeah.
He can't go be the player rep. He doesn't know what he's doing. So it has to be someone who's been around for a while.
Sure.
Like Whit Merrifield was a player rep. And I think they should be more guys like that who are in the middle tier,
yeah.
Who know what it takes to scrap through and fight their way. I have no problem with Max Scherzer. Okay.
M-I-Z.
Get all the money you want. But he was a first-round draft pick who's made $300 million.
Yeah.
Does he remember what it was like to be? He's never been. We know what he's never been. He's never been a kid from Latin America who got $15,000 to leave Venezuela to come to America.
Yeah.
Because he got big money right at the start. So it's a weird union.
Yeah.
It's hard to figure out who should be making the calls on it.
Before we go to break, does it make you nervous when you see something like Juan Soto, who was offered $440 million from a decent market in Washington? Obviously, I think they have some issues with keeping players because they couldn't keep Trey Turner, Scherzer, Bryce Harper. The list goes on and on. But they offered $440 million. Granted, the AAV was not up to par with what other teams would probably offer. But still, $440 million, and he says no, not even a counter.
Yeah.
Does that make you nervous with Bobby Witt Jr.? I'm not saying he's going to be Juan Soto. That seems foolhardy to believe. But if
he was Juan Soto, he would have already been in the major leagues for 5 years.
Correct.
That's what Juan Soto was when he was 22.
Correct.
But, yeah, it's scary. Now, I think Washington, as you said, that was a mess up there.
Because they can't keep anyone.
No, and they won. They won their ring, and then they're all like, all right, well, let's go. Let's get out of here now. So I don't know much about their ownership situation. Something there, maybe you don't want to live in D.C. Maybe I wouldn't want to live there. It's a mess.
Well, you go to the Smithsonian every day.
You could. It's free. Yeah. Just go every day. You get $440 million, you go to the Smithsonian every day.
Nelson Atkins better, though.
Yeah, I've been to both. Nelson Atkins is great.
I mean, the Commanders represent that town pretty well, Lebo, you know?
They just really are the
premier organization.
And the Wizards, this is Winterville.
It's a Washington issue, I think, now that we come down to it. That has to be it.
The Nats won.
Sure.
That's amazing. They beat the Cheaters.
Yep.
That is true.
You know? But they, like, the Caps won a few years ago, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They went a decent amount.
That was a big party. Yeah. Because OV was taking the cup everywhere.
Right, yeah. That was he was probably driving fast in a Ferrari, running over things. He's got a little lead foot, doesn't he? Got some problems. But I don't know. Listen, if you could go live wherever you want to live and go do what you want to do and you have enough money, go ahead and do it. And if you don't want to be there and you want to go to an organization where you think that's got it going on, I've been hearing for years, when Eric Hosmer left 5 years ago, right, the Padres, they got the best minor league system, and this is going to be really something.
Sure.
And they've made the playoffs once.
Yeah.
Are they going to make it this year?
Yeah.
Probably. It looks like
I would be shocked if they did not.
They're loaded up with Machado's making all this money still, and Tatis hasn't even played. He's making all this money. And now Soto. Now maybe they're going to offer him a contract. I don't know if they're going to offer him a contract this offseason or just let him sit. I don't know what they're going to do.
Let's take a quick break. Come back. Homestretch here, ESPN Kansas City.
Don't miss the Garmin Kansas City Marathon on Saturday, October 15th. This is Kansas City's largest and most exciting race, and it features a course that runs past Casey's favorite local landmarks and finishes in front of the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. The Garmin KC Marathon has distance options for all fitness levels, with a 5K, 10K, half marathon, and full marathon. And you won't want to miss the Finish Line Festival with free food, free beer, and live music after the race. It's the Garmin Kansas City Marathon on Saturday, October 15th. Register today at kcmarathon.org.
Calling all party animals. Be a part of the wildest fundraiser in Kansas City, Jazz Zoo, on Friday, August 26th. Enjoy an evening at the Kansas City Zoo with unlimited food and drinks from over 50 restaurants, as well as live entertainment all night long. Your support of this event provides food and care for over 1,700 animals, as well as educational opportunities for children in our community. There are a limited number of tickets available for the event, so grab yours today. Visit jazzukc.org for more information.
WHB's 100-year celebration brought to you by Xfinity Comcast, Crown Automotive, Champion Distributors, Bickemer Electric, Ascentist Hair Restoration, Outdoor Lending, Dimensional Innovations, The Victory Project, Slickit, and KC Credit Union. It's not too late to sponsor the WHB 100-year celebration. For more details, call 913-344-1530. Sponsorships start for as little as $500 and support four amazing Kansas City charities.
What does your smile say about you? Are you happy? Confident? Friendly? Getting and keeping that smile takes work. Proper brushing and flossing daily, and drinking fluoridated water. Fluoridated water has been in use for 75 years and is considered the most safe, equitable, and cost-effective way to prevent tooth decay. A healthy smile means a healthy person and a healthy community. For more information, visit health.mo.gov. A message from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
Take the baseline out.
Welcome back to the home stretch here, ESPN Kansas City. All right, Lebo.
Yeah.
We talked about in the first segment before you got here. Kareem Hunt wanted to be traded from the Cleveland Browns.
No.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you again.
You just don't need any part of him. No. You don't pay running backs.
Correct.
Number one. And you don't trade for running backs.
Also correct.
So why would you trade for one and have to pay him?
And that is... without even taking into consideration
that he had left here because he lied to the owner and all that. So.
I just don't understand
I'm
people
more and more
who
intrigued.
Are.
I don't like to watch preseason football. Saturday, I want to watch. I want to watch Pacheco play, right?
Yeah.
People are saying this is someone who, he's out there running with the ones often.
Yeah, what's going on there with Isaiah Pacheco? Because did he jump Clyde? Is this just a, we want to see what
they
he has?
They got a lot of guys that they're going to play out there, but. You're going to get all the Pacheco you want to see, I think, here in the preseason. So I'll watch that. I'll see it. Nobody was fired up about Kareem Hunt, really, as a third-round draft pick.
Sure.
But then all of a sudden, he burst onto the scene, his very first game, and they had a weapon. Listen, if he's two-thirds of what Kareem Hunt was his first couple years with the Chiefs, they have a steal of a steal in the seventh round.
Yeah.
But you don't need Kareem Hunt back in your life.
No. It's not worth the headache. It's not worth the money. If he's unhappy with $6 million this year, he's going to want to raise. What are you going to do? Why? No. Zero sense.
I feel bad for running backs, but you don't get paid like that anymore.
No.
It ain't happening.
No.
Sorry.
You get 40 times a game, 20 times a game, whatever it is, you're getting hit hard.
Yeah. And they're not paying. Ain't no more Adrian Peterson contracts. No more Zeke contracts. They're not happening anymore.
If Chris McCaffrey can make it work, Saquon... Zeke, those were Todd Gurley. Not
dime
happening.
A dozen.
Home stretch here, ESPN Kansas City, back live in studio tomorrow, 3 to 4 p.m. We are out.
ESPN Kansas City is KCTE Independence and K233DM Raytown, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM.
Join Cross First Bank and our support of Golfology for Cardiology. The name may sound funny, but we're raising money and awareness for a serious cause. Go to golfologyforcardiology.com. That's golfology, the number.